The next item. The next item.
Oops, the mayor is reconnecting to the meeting right now, so stand by.
Golly, sorry, everybody. Not being a very good millennial tonight. Karen, could you make me the host so I could share my screen, please? Thank you. Okay. So the next item is still on the consent agenda. This is item 8. This is an NCO for the AMLIP Gravel Pit Fund. Are there any council questions or staff comments about this item? Okay, not seeing any. Moving on to the next item on the agenda. This is item 9, an NCO for the departmental budgets. Yes, please, thank you.
I wanted to just, this is Phoebe. I wanted to highlight a couple things on here. Under the income side, we have received our, I think, final number for the American Rescue Plan funds that are coming in. Or at least the number we have as of now is $107,902. And so that's up there on the top of the screen. We also received our PILT funds, came in $8,000 more than we had budgeted. That's kind of always a guess what we put in the budget based on the previous year. So that was good news. And the CAP funds came in for this year, Community Assistance Program, just under $200 less than what they had originally thought it was going to be. So that was all good news on the income side. On the expense side, I just updated the insurance numbers with what came through in our actuals. And then the highlighted in yellow there is the discussion we're going to have later about whether to include funds here for the flux meters that GPAC has requested. So that will get finalized for the NCO, depending what happens with the discussion later on. Thank you.
Thanks, Phoebe. Any council questions or comments about this NCO? Okay, moving on to the items up for public hearing. Item 10 is for the AMLIP fiscal year 22 R&R. Are there any council questions or comments about this item? Okay, seeing none, moving on to item 11. This is the AMLIP for the road maintenance for the fiscal year 22 transfer. Any council comments or staff comments about this item? Okay, moving on. The final item on the open for public hearing next week is the capital project funding for fiscal year 21. Okay, not seeing any comments about this item. Okay, so I'm not sure if Kelly or anybody from the GPAC is on the call. If you are, if you would like to speak to the flux meter, you are welcome to do so at this time.
Hey, this is Kelly. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Thanks.
All right. I don't have any more of a prepared presentation. I sent a bunch of additional info over the last couple of weeks, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thanks, Kelly. So do any council members have any questions for Kelly about this? Also at this time, just open it up for council debate and deliberation. Go ahead, Joe.
I read, I think, everything that's been sent out here. Seemed a little intimidating to me, all the different things that had to happen to make this work, and question of who are you going to find to do this, to pull it off, and just being able to sample it right, get it sent out of here, keep it cool, and then, you know, what does it end up in a UPS truck where it's 105 degrees out? It just seems like there's a lot of room for just the results not being what you'd hoped for. And I wondered if there might, if it might make sense to just try one of these as a sample to see if it can actually be done, to see if the results that they send back are what you're hoping for, or if it tells you anything, or if it just ends up in a file somewhere. I imagine that's not what you're looking for, but it seemed to me like kind of insurance of whether we can actually pull this. Thank you.
Right. I think that's not a bad idea at all, Joe. I think part of the problem is that we're in a little bit of a catch-22, and also this is definitely like not the city's responsibility. So if we were DOT doing this, then we would have all the contractors to draw from. But part of the catch-22 is that this is the preliminary data that we need to assess whether or not Plume Stop is going to work. So there's not a lot of preliminary data to rely on because this is it. I think, so GPAC has done quite a bit of well sampling, and we've sent a lot of samples to labs across the country, down in California and all the way over on the East Coast. Temperature does not matter for PFAS. Part of the 537.1 method, EPA approved method, requires temperature control, but it doesn't change anything. It doesn't destruct at all ever. So getting a little bit warm doesn't matter. But I think that as far as like a minimal city expense, just doing one of the PFMs might be a great way to supply some data to DOT and push them to get more.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yes, I was wondering if it'd be helpful to try to involve a consultant who does environmental monitoring. Yeah, I know Shannon and Wilson can't do it because of their other involvement in PFAS issues on the in the city here, but maybe NorTec would be a possibility. They have an office in Juneau. They do environmental field monitoring around the state. Headquarters in Fairbanks. They actually have worked here on at the gas station on the underground storage tank projects. So that might be a possibility, but it would also increase the cost of this by quite a few thousands of dollars for their time. However, they could come up with a sampling strategy that would be more certain to provide us with results that were usable. And they have the skills to do field sampling. So that might be a possibility. I think it's worth asking them or one or more other consultants that do environmental testing.
Yeah, thank you. I'd have that on my to-do list after speaking to you at the post office. I do have Kathy Strebler willing to help from OTNA, but she would be a GPAC volunteer. And I also asked the Enviroflux guys if a layperson could do this, place the PFMs and extract them and ship them, and they said yes. As far as they're concerned, that would be fine, and they, thought that it would be straightforward enough if we use their YouTube video. And I also asked DOT if they would accept the results if a layperson put the PFMs in the test well and extracted them, and I have not heard back on that answer yet. So I'll reach out to NorTec this week, and Kathy said that she would ask around OTNA and see if anybody, see if she could get a good deal or a volunteer or somebody.
Go ahead, Tanya.
Yeah, thanks. I guess I have some questions about, I understand what we're trying to do here, but it's just convoluted, I guess, in that the state ultimately, or FAA, is responsible for this PFAS contamination. And we are thinking that these monitors will inspire them to put a bunch of money into plume stop, or ultimately they should be doing this, right? So is this really, is this what needs to happen to inspire them to do it if it's, if plume stop is going to be effective, or is this kind of enabling or taking some responsibility as a city for this issue that's not caused by us? And are we, I know the state is suing, there's some lawsuits involved too, right? I mean, we have a local lawsuit against the city and the state, and then there's the state is suing 3M or something. Is the city suing the state? Just kind of trying to look at the big picture and strategically, is this a good move for moving forward? I'm interested to hear what Kelly has to think and anyone else too. Thanks.
Yeah, Tanya, those are definitely all thoughts that I have had. I think in a way it is kind of letting the state off the hook a little bit, but I would hope that having this data, we could go to them and say plume stop would be an effective remediation technique. Right now, so this, I'll try not to go too long-winded on this, but the the state gave DEC $9 million from the SPAR fund, which is the nickel a barrel oil fund. It's supposed to be reserved for oil spills, but they're also allowed to use it for any sort of spill. So $9 million to DEC. DEC has not touched it because it's supposed to be reimbursable from the responsible party. DOT is squarely responsible for the contamination at our airport. FAA is off the hook because DOT signed away their rights on their in order to take FAA funds. They signed a piece of paper years ago saying they would keep airports clean, not knowing this was a contaminant. Anyways, their court case like prospects are nil. So, and DOT has said this much to me. So they're responsible for our airport. So theoretically, it is reimbursable from DOT to the SPAR fund, but the state does not want to cost itself money. So there's a lot of foot dragging, which is why I thought if somebody like GPAC could get some data that is very promising, then we could say, you know, this is a viable effort. They just did a pilot project in Fairbanks. That data should be released or has been released in the last week. It should be released really soon if it hasn't been already. And everything I heard about that is that it was really promising. So I think that Plume Stop is coming. My hope was to get it sooner than later because of all of the disruption at the airport. I think if we were sitting in, on a normal timeline without just disturbing all the PFAS ground, then fine, we'll bide our time and wait for DOT. But I'm worried for my property and my drinking water. Well, I have a cistern, but my neighbor's drinking water. And I mean, the grass and the vegetables and everything on my property, I'm worried that contamination is going to increase because of the airport project. So having something in place to mitigate that is hopeful for me. But I mean, that said, I think all the things that Tonya brought up are things that the council does need to consider. And I'm really just here to present this to you guys as an opportunity. And if you say no, then I will go knock on somebody else's door.
Sally, go ahead.
Thanks, Brittany. But if you wanted to jump in, I'm sorry, you always have to wait until the end. So if you have something to say, go ahead.
Thanks, that's kind. I'm happy to continue listening.
Okay, thanks. I'm a little disappointed. I understand that the city council is coming from the city council point of view here and protecting themselves and our resources and our money and everything. But I'm a little disappointed that the council doesn't have more faith in GPAC or in the things that we have done. Clearly, Kelly has done her homework here. She's got a lot of information and a lot of stuff in her brain that she can just spout out. She's answered every single question. I'm very impressed. Thank you, Kelly. GPAC has been requesting city assistance for 3 years now. And really, the city has provided very little support. And I think that this is a fairly minor expense for the city to provide a means for very possibly some long-term remediation that could come at, you know, come up a little sooner than waiting, a long time for the state to come around to dealing with it. Impacted residents are coming up on 3 years of drinking bottled water and in dealing with their frustrations with the state and, you know, trying to get remediation and clean water. It's been mostly non-existent, and the provisions for safe drinking water is far from being resolved. We've still got, as far as I know, only one active cistern in place. And so people are still drinking bottled water. And I know it's easy to come from a point of view, sitting back and saying, you know, well, should we do this? Should we not do this? But when you're an impacted resident who's been dealing with this for 3 years, and I am no longer an impacted resident. My property is not impacted because I don't have that property anymore, but I'm an impacted person. And my I carry a very, very high body burden of PFAS in my blood. And I don't want to see anybody else have to deal with this again, ever. I'm sorry, I'm just really passionate. Our vision as a city is to protect our natural resources and to assure public health and safety. And I see this as expense as a really small amount of money that would be a really strong, good faith effort towards meeting that vision and working towards helping all of our residents to have access to clean water. I just thank you.
Thank you, Sally. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I want to applaud Sally for that statement. Thank you. I do support this, and I agree with Sally that it is a reflection of the values of that statement that we read at the start of every meeting, and that our caring for our natural resource and the quality of life here in the environment is key to our lifestyles and key to our economy. So this is important to get solved, and I don't mind spending money on it. My only reason, by the way, for suggesting a consultant is I think the manufacturer is probably correct that it's easy to drop those samplers down the well, wait 30 days, pull them back up, go through the steps in the video. I watched the video. I agree it's not that hard. The only concern that I have is for the sampling strategy. That is, are the locations of the wells correct? Do we do one or two samples at different elevations in the wells and things like that, that the consultant might be able to help us with. But if we think we can get enough direction from the manufacturer without using a consultant, then I'm happy to see a GPAC proceed with it. And I'd also be very appreciative if Kathy Strebler can donate some time and help us out too. I would very much respect her assistance on that and appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Is there any other council comments or questions for Kelly on this item? Or any objections to putting it on the agenda under new business for the general meeting? Go ahead, Sally.
Thanks, Brittany. I've calmed down a little bit now. What I wanted to say was that if we can get it on the agenda as an NCO, I think I understand the process, but if we could get it on the agenda for the next meeting as an NCO instead of as just a discussion item and then having to, you know, put that off then maybe for 2 months or, you know, that process, that would be great. And maybe it's very possible that one or two of these flux meters might give us, you know, an inkling of what we're looking for and get the right amount of data that we can then pass on. And then maybe the state would cop up for more of them to, you know, study a little bit more. I'm certainly willing to consider that, but I would like to see us, if we can, I don't even know if there's time now, but to, you know, put it on the agenda as an NCO.
Yeah, sorry, you're right, Sally. I apologize. I had a little brain slip. Phoebe did put it in item 9 under the NCO, under the departmental budgets.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
I forgot to. She hasn't yet, but she will. We will, yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, anybody else for this item? Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I didn't make myself clear that I support it. I still think it's good to talk about it. And I haven't heard anyone not support this general idea. So it seems like a good thing to bring forward. And I was just kind of going back to our previous discussion, and maybe we can come back to this if we're still talking about this issue, but would we want to add an NCO for the fish carcass bin to that same departmental budget NCO for next meeting? We can come back to it if it seems like there's some people that want to talk about this more. Thanks.
Thanks, Tanya. Leah, let's circle back around to that. I think that's a good thing to talk about. Go ahead, Phoebe.
So I still need to know what value to put on the NCO, how many flux meters folks were interested in. So that needs to be part of this discussion too, so I can draft the correct number on the NCO. And then I have something to say about funding the fish ones when we get to that discussion.
This is Kelly. From my perspective, it seems to me like the more distance we can cover in the well screen, so like as deep as we can get and have markers, intervals from deep to shallow. Sorry, I don't have the right words for that. So each PFM can have like 1 to 5 different test points. So in the well that's been chosen, the well that's most promising is about 20 feet deep, so it would be 4 flux meters. So you could do 1 sample per flux meter, and that would drive down the price. I had the guy at EnviroFlux do 2 samples per PFM, so it's going to be 8 total, but you could go up to 5 data points per PFM, so that would be 20. But if the city wanted to make the price lower, I would do less sample points per PFM, not less PFM.
Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you. I'm in support of this, but it sounds like to get anything accurate, we need more than one. We need possibly 2 of these to get a varied reading. So there you go. I think if we just do one, it's too limited. If we had 2, we could get a wider range, and it's important. Everybody wants this to be resolved. I don't know, it might be something we just have to live with. Hopefully this will light a fire under the state and DOT. There you go, that's my 2 bits.
Thanks, Joe. Okay, so we still as a council need to decide how many we want to put in for the budget. So are there council thoughts on a number of tests? Joe, go ahead.
I'm for doing 2 of them.
Okay, thank you. Sally?
I would like to see the full amount requested funded, which is $8,148.
Thank you, Sally. Mike?
Yeah, I think the easy thing, probably the pragmatic thing for us to do right now is to go with a fairly good sized NCO, enough for several of these. And then it doesn't mean we have to spend it all and do them all. We at least have the money in place to do it if as we study it further, decide that we need them. I think it'd be great to do a couple of wells and maybe multiple levels, say at least halfway down and at the bottom, or that's where we need a little bit of help from maybe somebody like Kathy, who could say, well, what's the water doing down? What do we think the water, the hydrology is, and is it different at various depths, which I suspect it is. So I think we want some flexibility to do several samples, even if we don't do them all.
So Mike, are you in favor of the full amount that was asked then?
Yeah, I would be in for putting it in the NCO, and I'm not sure, was that for four samples maybe? And that might allow us to do either four in one well or two and two each in two different wells. So we'd have, if that was for four samples, if it's more than that, that's great. We could do even more. Even if we do, I mean, this, what's going on there might vary also with the time of year, because what the groundwater does changes quite a bit. So we may even need to do this at different times of the year if we're really going to characterize it. So I guess I'm not too sure how many samples we'd actually be getting. I don't recall how many we get for that 8,000, but I'm happy to do a lot.
So the 8,000 is 12 data points. The 6,000 was 8 data points. And we could go to one data point per PFM and potentially get 8 of them and put 4 in each well and put 4 each in two wells and get even more information. So I could get, I mean, if you guys just want to do like 8,000 or 9,000 or whatever for a number, then I could get several different quotes that could be deliberated over at the regular meeting.
Thanks, Kelly. And thanks, Mike. So I have two council members that are in favor of the full funding. Is there any objection to putting the 8,148 on the NCO? Okay. Okay, Phoebe. So I think that will be our number to put on 8,148. And is there any other discussion about the flux meters? Okay, thank you, Kelly.
Thank you all.
Okay, Phoebe, do you wanna speak to the fish carcass canisters at all?
Yeah, I just wanted to speak a little bit about funding then. If we're gonna try to do an NCO, that this would be a capital project, it would need to have scoping approved. I can pull that up to see if we've done that yet. So that would also need to be on the agenda, but then we wouldn't fund it or even buy it. The public hearing wouldn't be till September. And so I kind of feel like this season has sailed in terms of doing that full-blown fish waste disposal bin that we had discussed about. I don't see that happening before the end of the summer season here. So that's all I wanted to speak to, if there really was a rush to do it, or if it was something we wanted to make sure happened during the off season that we had in place by next spring. And I'll I can tell you here if the status of the we have not done scoping, so we need to have scoping approved also. So it needs scoping approved and an NCO introduced and then a public hearing. And then we have to actually order the thing and have it arrive. So I think I think that solution is off the table for this current season. And that's.
Thank you, Phoebe. Go ahead, Tanya.
Yeah, I think the idea was to make it have it made locally, so we won't need to order anything. But either way, we would have to do an NCO before the next fiscal year because the next budget won't come till next July, basically, right, or June. So I'd be in favor of starting down the road and, you know, not relying on it being in place for this fishing season, but at least get it going before the snow flies and maybe have it done and then ready to go for the spring. So if scoping's the first part, then we should start on that first. Thanks.
Go ahead, Phoebe.
Yes, that's what we'd have to do first, the scoping. Just like we did last meeting, the scoping needs to be introduced and approved before the NCO is introduced. And that can happen the same meeting, but scoping definitely has to be approved before the introduction of funding for a project.
Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, if there is any hope of having this made locally, is there a print of some sort that we can look?
Joe cut off.
Yeah, I was saying if there's any hope of this being made locally, I wondered if there was a print plan of some sort that we could get a hold of. Otherwise, we won't be able to get any kind of a price on it.
Ben, do you want to speak to that?
I'll let Phoebe go ahead since she's got her hand up.
Can you hear me?
That's all should be covered in the scoping. That's why we do the scoping first. And so that's, you got to flush that all out and get price estimates. And that's, so that would all be figured out and determined during the scoping estimate. Right now, we just kind of have a general idea written up, but the full fledged scoping should cover all those.
Go ahead, Ben.
You can hear me?
Yes, thanks.
Oh, okay. Yes, so Holly said that he could build us a aluminum box. We'd have to order Ben to go inside it.
Sorry, Ben, to interrupt you, but you're breaking up just a little bit again.
Is that better?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so Phoebe basically said what I was going to say, which is that what we have is a general idea. I explained the project to Phil Hawley. He said that he could build us an aluminum box. He said that he would need, based on the size of it, he would need half the money up front to buy the aluminum, and then he would charge us the rest for the labor afterwards. Glacier Bay Construction can pour us a concrete slab. We already have the trash cans that we're going to go at the beach. We can use those on the slab because we need to have trash cans there with the fish box so that people don't throw their trash into the food waste. But nothing was priced out exactly to this point. That would happen during the scoping phase. Is there any? I think that's it.
Thank you, Ben. Okay, so it sounds like we've got some good leads on information to get for the scoping document to bring forward. Tanya, do you have time or are you interested in participating in developing the scoping document?
Yes,
Time, no. Interest, yes. I definitely would like to, yeah, I want to make sure that the, you know, there's not actually containers that are bear proof. They are called bear resistant, and there's certain specifications. So we definitely need to make sure that the bin is meets those specifications. And yes, I'm happy to be involved. I won't have a lot of time for, you know, another month or two, but yes.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move forward with that. And it sounds like, you know, like you said, if we can maybe get it started before, you know, have it in place for spring, that's our best bet. So it sounds like it's not a huge, huge rush. So thank you for being willing to work on that. Any other discussion on the bear bins for the fish waste? Okay, that's all of the items on the agenda. Do any council members or members of staff have any other questions or comments?
Could I say something?
I'm not sure if you're, oh yes, thank you.
Yeah. So unless I don't know exactly how to say this. I have no problem taking care of the scoping document and getting the estimates and the sizes and everything. If Tanya doesn't want to do that, I've done that on other things, or if that's appropriate, I'm willing to do that, I guess.
Thanks, Ben. That's great too. I maybe will just leave it to you and Tanya to decide whether you want to work together or if you're happy to do that on your own. Does that sound okay?
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you. Go ahead, Joe.
There it went. I don't know how much of that you heard. I'm just getting a clue that you're talking about two fish bins, and I question the practicality of having one at the beach. It seems like it would be much easier for charters and private fishermen to discard those at sea than it would be to lug them up the ramp. And I also wonder, how is that going to get to the DRC? It doesn't seem practical to drive a bobcat way down there twice. But I guess I can contact Ben privately on this and get some of those questions. Thanks.
Can I speak to that?
Please.
Yeah, Joe, I think you misunderstood. We're not talking about having a fish bin down at the dock or the beach for the reasons that you said. So I think you might have misunderstood something.
Thanks, Ben. Sorry about that.
Phoebe, go ahead.
I think the confusion there was that we have some trash cans that were purchased for use at the beach that we have not installed that are sitting here in the City Hall parking lot. And we were talking about having those at the harbor so that when people have bags of fish carcasses or something like that, that they're not putting the bags in the compost bin also. So we would have whatever else happens in there. But that was the discussion about using those garbage cans originally purchased for the beach that have not been installed and are sitting here.
Thanks, Phoebe. Okay, anything else from the council? Okay, anything else from the staff either? Okay, thank you everybody. I think that's all for us for the evening and we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.